Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the offices of Amanda J. Gentry, live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Twins Peak Galleria Boulevard here in Cool Springs. The pregame show starts in 40 minutes. Derek Mason, Eddie George in today for Chris Sanders. So get excited about that. So apparently we got some news. The Titans are elevating Josh Gordon up off the practice squad. He will be active today for the Titans against the Bills. And all I have to say about that is great.
I just know there's going to be somebody in the text line saying, Josh Gordon, he's going to be a difference maker tonight. And maybe he will be, but I'm not going to bet on that.
Josh Gordon's last 1,000-yard season in the NFL came in 2013. Adrian Peterson led the NFL in carries, yards, and touchdowns 2 years after that.
And we saw what the Adrian Peterson experiment was like last year.
Here's the thing that I gotta tell people. This is my message, you know, for the fans, which is, dear fans, get excited about guys before they're guys when they become stars and not the other way around. Not, oh, Julio Jones, oh, Adrian Peterson.
Golden Tate.
Josh Gordon, oh, gosh. I mean, look, my buddy does the midday show in Kansas City. I used to work with him in Louisville. He knows ball. He says Josh Gordon's not good anymore. I watched tape on Josh Gordon. He can't run anymore. That was his whole game.
Josh Gordon was on the practice squad.
He doesn't offer them anything.
If he was elite, if he was Josh Gordon, he would not have been on the practice squad.
So I don't want to get people upset, but you're talking to somebody who's not getting worked up about Austin Hooper's targets or whatever, and I'm certainly not going to worry about Josh Gordon's. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. My man, Coach T, is up next here on the program. The floor is yours, Coach.
Jared Bayer, what's going on, man? Coach T in the house, man. How you guys doing today?
Good.
I know you're going to shoot me straight. So we go back and forth. You know, you and I have already been talking a couple times on the Titans with the opportunity of making a move up in the division. And now we're playing on the road in Buffalo, who is supposed to be the quintessential Super Bowl champs this year, right? Or at least make it to the Super Bowl. So the question for you is, depending on how the outcome of this game comes tonight, win or loss, what is that going to say for our beloved Titans? If we lose the game, you know, what is that going to do in terms of the scheme of getting us back on track? And if we win the game, does that mean we're heading in the right direction?
Coach T, great call. You're a good man. Appreciate you as always.
Oh, yeah. Later.
Let me say this. I think that's a great question with exactly what I want to go to.
Uh-huh.
If they lose, I think it's simple. If they lose, then I think the whole season comes down to next week against the Raiders. And if they start 0-3, it's over. If they win, that is the question I want to get to. If they win tonight, which is not very likely, but if they win tonight, then what? I will open this to the forum and to the phones at 615-737-1025. If they win, then what? I'll go first.
I'm scared of where you're going to go here.
I know Buffalo's really good.
Really good.
I know Kansas City's good.
Yes.
Everybody else in the AFC, I think, you know, there are things I like about Baltimore. There are things I don't like about Baltimore. There are things I like about Cincinnati. There are things I don't like about Cincinnati. I watched a lot of football yesterday, and I am here to tell you that I did not see one single AFC team that I have just, I don't want to say true respect for, but yeah, I think that's what I'll say. Other than Buffalo, I mean, Kansas City won Thursday night, but we have to remember they were playing at home on Thursday Night Football, which always benefits the home team.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, let's see Kansas City with just a little bit more pressure throughout the course of the season. I think there's one elite team in this conference. I think it's Buffalo.
Can we count the Chargers out?
Out? Probably not. But can we count them as an elite team?
No.
I think there's one elite team, and I think it's Buffalo. And so if they win tonight on the road at Buffalo at that one elite team, who's to say that the AFC won't be like it was last year, where Tennessee won 12, Buffalo won 11, Kansas City won 11, Cincinnati, I think, won 10, and all those teams, the Raiders, were right behind all those others, and it was, you know, a goal line stand by the Raiders against the Bengals. It was a field goal between the Bengals and the Titans. It was overtime between the Bengals and the Chiefs, and it was one last play at the end of the game between the Rams and the Bengals, and that the Titans would be up there with those teams. I know that sounds crazy. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but they lost to the Giants by a kick. They didn't lose to the Giants because they are horrible. They didn't lose to the Giants because...
The Giants are not a better team than the Titans.
No. They lost to the Giants because they got complacent, where they certainly, in my opinion, dominated the Giants for the first half of the game,
the
got complacent, and they missed a field goal. So it's crazy to sit here and say, like, they're going to be 0-2. I mean, most likely, they're going to be 0-2 tomorrow, and most of the country is going to write the Titans off, and most of the country already has written the Titans off. And I'm not writing them off, but I do think their season is on the line on Sunday against the Raiders if they lose. If they win, I think the Titans are very much in the mix in the AFC once again, just like last year. And I know it sounds crazy, but the other part of it is, does Tampa Bay look elite?
Not elite.
Do the Rams look elite?
No.
So right now, there's one team, and it's early, I know, but there's one.
Things change.
There's one team. I will say this. I think that Miami Dolphins are going to be the test child of the, if you try everything and can't get a quarterback you like, but you somehow, some way just decide to go spend the money on the receivers or get the two best receivers, can that be enough to elevate an average quarterback? They're kind of like that Dante Culpepper syndrome, where Dante Culpepper was an average quarterback.
Yesterday,
but he had
proved,
Randy
maybe.
Moss and he had Chris Carter. Maybe.
Maybe.
Your thoughts. What if they win tonight?
If they win tonight, that makes you feel a whole heck of a lot better moving forward.
That's not what makes me feel. How does it make you feel?
I said that makes me feel a whole heck of a lot better moving forward. It makes me feel a whole heck of a lot better moving forward. And I think that just proves, hey, against the Giants, the Titans were the better team. They got complacent.
How much better? Put them in the AFC.
I would say top five team in the AFC.
Five?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking like top three. If they win tonight, it's them, Kansas City, and Buffalo.
But I'm also not willing to count these teams out.
Well, I'm not counting them out. Nobody's counting them out. But, I mean, like, I'm talking about the Chargers are not a top three team in the AFC right now.
No, they're not.
So,
and if Justin Herbert is out, then no, they're not a top five team in the AFC. No.
If the Titans go on the road to Buffalo and beat the Bills, I have to put them ahead of the Chargers.
Yeah,
like,
I would.
Easily
ahead
of the Chargers.
I would say that's fair.
Okay, easily ahead of the Chargers.
I would put
the
them ahead of the Raiders. I would put them
Broncos.
I would put them ahead of the Bengals, probably.
You have to. The Bengals are 0-2.
I would put them ahead of the Bengals. Those teams in the AFC that aren't elite, but they have good quarterbacks.
Ravens. Would you put the Titans ahead of the Ravens if they beat the Bills? On the road in Buffalo.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, would you put them ahead of the Dolphins?
Probably.
I guess we're running out of teams.
Top three team.
We're running out of teams.
I would put them probably at a top three team. And is it crazy to say that even if they do beat the Bills, I'm not putting them ahead of the Bills?
No, I'm not putting the Colts ahead of them.
Well, obviously not. No, the Colts are horrendous. I guess I would make them a top three team, yeah,
here's
in the AFC.
Here's the other thing, too.
But also, it's just so early.
I know, but here's the other thing.
And like, let's not forget the Bills lost to the Jags last year. The Jags were not a better team than the Bills.
Vrabel did not coach well last week against the Giants. By any means. I thought Vrabel coached horrendously for his standards.
Uh-huh.
How many bad coaches are there right now in this league? I mean, there are so many.
There are more
many
bad coaches than there are good coaches, for sure.
Bad coach in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Bad coach with the Chargers. Bad coach in Denver.
Bad coach in Dallas.
Bad coach in Dallas. Bad coach in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at any point, is this offensive guru with his freaking Waffle House menu of play calls, is he ever going to draw something up to block Micah Parsons? Guess not. There are so many bad coaches in this league. And that's where, it, like, in my opinion, even though it's early, elevates the Titans if they can beat the Bills, because the Titans have a good coach who makes his team better throughout the course of the year. That's why I'm like, don't count out the Steelers, because Tomlin is a good coach. So don't count out the Steelers. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting this hour, is if they pull it off tonight. Again, I'm not counting on it, but if they do, then what? I also already have what I call preemptive sympathy. We never get mad at somebody when they do something before it happens. But there is somebody that I'm already sympathizing with. We'll get to that next right here on the program. TriStar Moving is my official movers. I love TriStar Moving. I don't know anyone who gets excited about moving because it's stressful, it takes a lot of time, and it's not fun. But when I found my friends at TriStar Moving, they made my outlook on moving so much better because they made my move absolutely stress-free. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was fantastic. It was so easy, and they've got very highly trained movers. They understand. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, they're my friends. They're Nashville guys. They have built this company into something special, and they want to keep it going. And they understand that the key in this economy is to hire good people, to train them right, treat them well, and they will do a fantastic job. And then in the moving industry, it's all word of mouth. It's all, yeah, I moved with them and it was excellent. And I did move with them and it was excellent. And that's why I recommend TriStar Moving to you. I love TriStar Moving. Their movers are highly trained and they got new super utility vans to help with the pat jobs, to help separate the high value items from the fragile items, from the bulk items, so that nothing gets messed up. Again, they're fantastic. They're local Nashville guys. Give them a call. TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. Or visit their website at nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 10% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared sent you for 10% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.
Ryan, they obviously used to be a division rival for you, but now that you've come to Tennessee, you know, they've played each other now. This will be the fifth straight year. How much does it feel like a rivalry still for you, or is there just so much familiarity? How does it feel when you guys are preparing for the Bills?
We have a lot of respect for them. It's a really good team through and through. Like you said, there's a lot of familiarity going against them for my fourth year in a row here in Tennessee, fifth year overall. So, you know, a lot of carryover with the defense, with the guys on defense, with our guys on offense. So we know each other well. Both teams know each other well. It comes down to execution and making plays.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill. And I have some preemptive sympathy tonight for Ryan Tannehill. If he doesn't play well, don't blame him. That is the thesis statement right here. If he doesn't play well, don't blame him.
Define doesn't play well.
If he throws interceptions, if he gets sacked, if they don't score points, if Ryan Tannehill has a bad game, don't blame Ryan Tannehill.
Why?
Because Ryan Tannehill is probably going to be, there's two separate games. There's two kind of games they can play. There's the game everybody is expecting them to play, which is that the Bills are going to score early, and the Titans are going to be down 10-0 or 14-0, and Tannehill's going to be in the shotgun on 3rd and 12, and you guys are going to lose your minds if they run a draw with Hassan Haskins to get 2 yards to come out and punt. You're going to go crazy if they do that. But if it's 3rd and 12 down 14-0, the Titans now are going to have to send 4 guys into the pass pattern, which means the Bills can rush however many they want, 4, and they can probably get there against the 5 of the Titans. And so Tannehill's got the clock in his head, knowing that the Bills are bringing pressure and the ball's got to come out. And then if the ball's got to come out, he may have to anticipate things that aren't there. And then they've got the 2 best safeties in the NFL, and the ball gets intercepted, and now it's 21-0. And people are going to be like, that was such a bad throw by Tannehill. What was he thinking? He was thinking, 1-2, ball's out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Titans don't have the receivers to be able to get open in 1-2 balls out. So if the defense can't keep this great Buffalo offense from taking a lead, and the offense gets down where running is now out of the equation, then Ryan Tannehill's going to throw interceptions. Ryan Tannehill's going to get sacked. Ryan Tannehill's going to fumble the ball. Ryan Tannehill, he plays a certain way. Last week was how he plays against the Giants. Well, this team's better, and this team has pass rush. And this team got 7 sacks last week against the Rams. So,
well, once running is out of the equation,
right?
I don't really know how much you can count on this offense to put up points by passing the ball.
I know, but
when you get down, if they do get down 14-0, running has to be out of the equation.
Somebody's going to get the blame. When he finishes 11 of 31 for 148 and 2 interceptions, somebody's going to get the blame. And it's going to be him and Todd Downing. But it's not fair to Tannehill. Downing, I'll have to watch it before I preemptively sympathize with him. Tannehill, they got to run the ball. This has to be one of those Derrick Henry runs for 183 yards. Tannehill hits 2 big shots in the red zone, and that's how you win. And so I am preemptively giving Ryan Tannehill a pass today. So I know.
If that does happen, who's the blame on?
If the Titans perform well?
If the Titans are down, say, 14-0 in the second quarter, Tannehill's forced to throw the ball, Tannehill's forced to be in uncomfortable situations, he does turn the ball over, he does throw interceptions, who's the blame on? If you can't blame Tannehill.
Then I think we just have to admit that they have a better team.
That they're just a better team.
They're a better team. And then you just move on from that. Because, again, we don't
bring
think
on
this
the Raiders.
Team, we don't think this team can compete for the Super Bowl. We didn't going into the season. And I haven't seen anything that's changed my mind since then. So I am preemptively giving Ryan Tannehill a pass. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. 615-737-1025. Ed has been waiting. Oh, Ed dropped. Okay. Let's Ian just sent me a text that said no more Ed. It said in the comment box on Ed, which I did want to hit on, was Dontrell Hilliard out. What do we make of Hilliard out?
It doesn't make me feel great.
I think it's a big loss.
I mean, just looking at how he was used against the Giants and how comfortable Tannehill was throwing him the ball in those short situations, I think that is a loss.
I think it's a big loss.
Yeah.
And in pass protection.
Yeah.
And again, early in the game, 3rd down and 5 is your friend. 3rd down and 15 is not. The Titans do not have receivers that can get open 15 yards down the field before the Buffalo pass rush gets to the quarterback. They just don't have it. It doesn't exist. So 3rd and 3 might be your friend. 3rd and 15 is not. And without Hilliard, who is a decent pass blocker, I'll have to watch how Haskins plays against the big boys, but I'm a little nervous. What do we have in the text on?
Ben texts in and says, if the Titans win tonight, then the Bills are not as good as we thought. We would all just be lumped together top seven.
Well, I mean, Kansas City probably would elevate to number 1 in the AFC. I still think Buffalo's really good. Like, even if the Titans win this game, just like how the Titans lost to the Giants, and I don't think the Titans are bad, just like how they lost to the Giants, and I don't think it means that the Titans are a horrendous team. It doesn't mean that Buffalo's not a Super Bowl contender if they let one slide tonight or Derrick Henry goes ham. But I think it would bring Buffalo back down to earth, and it would skyrocket the Titans up there right there with Kansas City and Buffalo. What's next?
Heidi from Dixon, Texas says, we have to win with fundamentals while other teams win with talent. That's how we beat Buffalo. But teams with talent that play fundamentally sound will beat the Titans every time.
So there is a little bit of truth in what Heidi said. And the truth is, more games in the NFL are lost at this point in the year than are won. And so a lot of these teams go out there. And college is the same way. I don't know if you watched Miami versus Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M didn't win that game. Miami lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of these games are played, is teams turn the ball over, too many men on the field, timeout at the wrong time, you know, quarterback has a miscommunication, or just dumb stuff. Dumb stuff kills these teams. And so that's what I feel like we're probably, you know, if the Titans win, it's because they didn't kill themselves. They didn't cost themselves the game. That's probably what it is. Not the other way around. So I kind of buy into that a little bit. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, the other week you said you can find Hilliard's anywhere, but now it's a big loss.
Well, that's because they don't have one on the team. I mean, like, if they went out and they added another running back, yeah, and maybe Haskins is that guy. I mean, Haskins looked pretty good in training camp, and I liked, you know, we didn't notice Hassan Haskins in the 2-minute drill at the end of the Giants game.
And that's a good thing.
But again, it's different for a rookie trying to pick up the blitz versus a guy who's been in the NFL for a while. Because a guy who's been in the NFL a while knows, hey, that guy's going to drop, this guy's going to come. You got to hit that guy. You got to chip that guy. You got to get out in the pass pattern. You got to do all these other things. Rookies maybe don't know that. That's the one difference. If it was another experienced guy, then it would be a little different. But, yeah, I mean, like, nobody's drafting Dontrell Hilliard in the first round of the draft, or the eighth round, or the seventh round of the draft, or the fifth round of the draft. Or
but there's a difference between losing a guy and that being a big loss, and a guy that you can you pay the big contract, that you give the big contract to. Dontrell Hilliard is not the kind of player that you give a massive extension, a ton of money to. That doesn't make him not important to this football team.
Yeah, but that's in the season that happens, where the Titans ended up in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago with Tremaine Brock out there, and he was horrible. And it's like, oh, my goodness, if they had just had a Chris Jackson to put out there.
Just a reliable guy.
But it doesn't make Chris Jackson a good player. They didn't even keep Chris Jackson on the 53-man roster. But it would have been a whole heck of a lot better than Tremaine Brock Sr. But because once they get into the season, it's hard to go out. You have to get that guy. He's got to learn your offense. He's got to – but like, if Dontrell Hilliard had signed for $2 million like Deontay Foreman did, the Titans be fine. And in reality is, the Titans are probably going to be fine in this game with Haskins, but we just don't know that. 615-737-1025. Trevor Maddich texted me. He is worried. He is worried. And he breaks that down specifically for me, which we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here, 1025-106 through the game. FanDuel Sportsbook. That's my official sportsbook app. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And one of the things I love is that you can bet on the NFL and you're always finding new players or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is that you can combine these props with bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout, which would be perfect for tonight's game. Not going to give away my pick because we'll do that next segment. We make our final picks. But you can take the point spread. You can take Derrick Henry's rushing yards. You can take Josh Allen's passing yards. You can take sacks. You can take whatever. And you can add it together for a same-game parlay. FanDuel Sportsbook is easy to use. They have live betting. Friends use it. It's got fast withdrawals, and they've got odds, boosts, and specials. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in your bet today on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. New to FanDuel? Get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with the promo code JGM. That's promo code JGM, and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the National Football League. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after. See restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. If Mike Vrabel told you, Trevor, I am going to put Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle, I'm going to let him learn on the job, and we've got Von Miller in week two and Max Crosby or Chandler Jones with the Raiders in week three, what would you say to Mike Vrabel?
Run the ball. Run the ball, because he'd still be in trouble over there against those guys. Really, really, you know, veteran NFL tackles have trouble against those guys. But because of the nature of this offense and pounding it downhill, really the best way to slow down a pass rusher is to run the ball right at him. Mm-hmm. And Petit-Frere is a guy that can swallow up one of those pass rushers that needs to hold his gap.
That was Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, when I asked him, okay, Nicholas Petit-Frere, right tackle. Got Von Miller in week two, maybe Max Crosby, Chandler Jones week three. How worried are you? He was worried. Trevor sent me a text Saturday. Said, Bills are going to roast Nicholas Petit-Frere. Last week, the Titans game plan to protect him like I've never seen, and it still didn't work. Trevor says, in Buffalo, they won't hear the snap count, and it will be even harder to run. So the Bills will see what the Titans did versus the Giants and game plan for it. Going to be a huge challenge to overcome all of that. The Bills are significantly better than the Giants everywhere except for Barkley. I asked, you know, what if they just run the ball with Derrick Henry, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, just run the ball the whole game? He said that's what they will try. What are the odds they will run it better than last week? It's a fair question. So Trevor is scared to death for Nicholas Petit-Frere against Von Miller tonight. How's that make you feel?
Well, to be honest, and I love Trevor. I think I was scared for Nicholas Petitfrere to go up against Von Miller before he even said it. Right? I mean, that's a tall task for any offensive lineman to take on Von freaking Miller, a player who instantly elevates any team that he is on, especially for a rookie who's in that position because your second-round pick couldn't win it. So, yes, I would be terrified for Nicholas Petitfrere to go up against Von Miller. And also, to the point about run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. The Titans weren't able to create holes for Derrick Henry that well last week. It makes me even more nervous against this Bills team for them to create holes for Derrick Henry this week. But that's what the game plan has to be, is run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
I mean, they don't need big holes. They just need 4 yards of carry, which is what Derrick gave them. They ran it 21 times.
You think that's going to do it?
At 3.9 yards a crack. If they can run it 30 times between Derrick and Haskins, then maybe they have some kind of chance.
But that's what, 30, 40 more yards for Derrick?
Probably something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or he busts one.
You're looking at 100-plus, yeah.
Something. But it's not about the yards. It's about staying at a 3rd and 13, in which they have to send 4 guys into the pass pattern, and then either the right tackle or the left tackle or one of those guys is by themselves. And now it's 3rd and 14, and Tannehill can't wait for the guy to go 14 yards, and he's got to throw it. And all of a sudden, now here comes the pressure. He's got to get it out quickly. They've got good safeties. Now you're in trouble.
But I think it is about the yards.
Why?
If Derek, let's say, did he average 3.9 yards a crack? Let's say he does that again this week.
Okay.
That keeps you out of 3rd and 13.
Well, that was the whole point of why they did it. Todd Downing said that Friday. People didn't want to hear it. But that's what he said. He said the reason why they ran the ball so predictably on first down was because they knew that if they ran the ball on first and second down, that it would avoid 3rd and long with the exotic blitz pressures that Wink Martindale of the Giants likes to roll with. That's why they did what they did. And that's why I said on Friday, I'm like, now that I've listened to Todd Downing explain it, like, I'm on his side. I was on Todd Downing's side because it made sense. Well, this game's even more of that. It's more of that staying out of 3rd and long. But what the Titans can't do, like the anti-Jeff Swaim crowd,
mm-hmm.
which I would say I am certainly a part of, because I don't think Jeff Swaim's a very good player. He's going to play probably more snaps or a higher percentage of the snaps, I would hope, tonight than he did on Sunday against the Giants.
Which is fine if he can block.
Well, I'm not sure that he's going to overnight learn how to do something he's never really been able to do. But that's why they're putting him in there.
But he's your best blocking tight end.
That's why they're putting him in there.
Right.
Like, he's going to play. I know people don't want to hear that. But that is reality. We are live out here at Twin Peaks. Again, the pregame show is starting in just a little bit over 5 minutes. 7 minutes from now, the pregame show will start. Eddie George is here. D. Mace is here. Eddie George is in for Chris. So we'll have the pregame show 3:45 to 5:45. Weird game with this weird doubleheader on the same family and networks going up against one another. Not sure I've ever seen that before. But here we are. The NFL is trying out new things. So the Titans get to be the guinea pig for that. It is time, though, for us to complete six-pack picks. We must make our final pick of today, of the week. I don't even know how we did. In all seriousness, over the weekend, I think I got a bunch of them wrong. I picked the Steelers in a blowout, which means that now we must pick the Titans and the Bills live from Twin Peaks, though I am in a good mood, so we'll give something away when we're done with that. Ian, please set us up.
Okay, full disclosure, I have not done the standings for the week yet. You know, just going to save myself some time and wait for tonight.
I know. I picked Miami against the Ravens. No. I did pick Miami against the Ravens, so I won that one.
I remember for certain, I said, I just do not think this Miami offense is anything special, and then Tua turns around and has that game like he had.
But then I also picked Miami against Texas A&M. So what do I know? Ian, give it to us.
All right. 6:15, ESPN. Titans at the Bills, Monday Night Football. Over-under on this one is 47.5, and the line is still Buffalo minus 10.
I'm going to take the Colts to cover. I think the Bills are going to win this game.
The Colts?
What did I say? Did I say the Colts?
Yeah.
Oh, where is my mind? The Titans to cover. I think that's just a massive spread. I do think the Bills are going to win this game. I think the Bills are just the better team. But I would say it's going to be the difference of about a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Titans to cover. Score prediction, 28-20 Bills.
28-20. I'm also going to take the Titans to cover. I just think if there's anything we've learned about the NFL, it's that these games are closer than people are making. This is not college football.
This is not Alabama Mercer.
Nobody State versus Ohio State. This is the NFL. I feel pretty confident that it's not going to be a complete blowout. I mean, how many, other than the Rams-Bills game that opened the season, how many of these have been total blowouts? Not many.
Not very many.
I don't think it's going to, I think Vrabel's going to game plan it so that it's not a total blowout. I don't expect the Titans to win. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think it's going to come down to the end. I'm going to take Buffalo 28, Tennessee 26.
But that
I
will close.
I do.
Wow.
These games are too. The only bigger spread than the 10 points that the Titans and the Bills are looking at right now, the only bigger spread was the Falcons and the Rams. And that came down to a Hail Mary at the end of the game. So everybody out there thinks, oh, this team's so good, this team's so bad. It's the NFL. It's going to be closer than 10 points. I think it's going to come down right down to the end, just like all these games seem to be coming right down to the end. I'll go Bills 28-26. That's it for us. The pregame show starts next out here at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Derek is here. Eddie George will be in for Chris Sanders today, so we kind of took out a little bit of the crazy, which...
God, the crazy is always good.
Kind of unfortunate for all of us out here, but that's okay. That's okay. And speaking of Eddie, since I'm in a good mood, Eddie, we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to the next game for you guys against Lane College at Hale Stadium on Saturday, October 1st. So be caller 5, and you are going to see Eddie and the TSU Tigers taking on Lane College at Hale Stadium on Saturday, October 1st. Good luck to you there. The pregame show's next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.